And I'd like you to look with me at the book of Genesis, and we'll start in chapter 13. We'll end up, Lord willing, in chapter 19, but don't worry, I'm not going to do a verse-by-verse exposition of that whole section. But I want to consider tonight this subject, looking at Sodom. We're going to look at some Bible characters and see how they looked at Sodom. And I think the way you look at Sodom is really important. Now, we know that Sodom was a wicked, wicked place. And obviously, even some of our laws in the past acknowledge the Sodomite sin. But, you know, the book of Ezekiel tells us that the sin of Sodom was pride and fullness of bread and idleness. Ezekiel chapter 46 tells us that. And so in addition to the immorality, the Sodomites were characterized by pride. And by the way, pride and sodomy seem to go together these days. Anyway, that's another subject. But I'm simply saying, for our purposes, looking at Sodom is looking at wickedness, worldliness, things that would dishonor God. And there is a right way to look at Sodom, and there's a wrong way. In fact, there are several wrong ways and one right way to look at Sodom. And I want us to notice in chapter 13, the first character we'll see is Lot. Chapter 13, excuse me, at verse 10, it says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." When we think about Lot, it tells us he looked up to Sodom. Again, at verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. This word beheld is a Hebrew word that means to see, to look at, to inspect. In other words, look intensely at, with great interest. But he lifted up his eyes. He looked up to Sodom. Now, you and I need to be careful. We don't look up to this world and the sinful lifestyle that it offers. Lot looked up to Sodom. And what did he see when he looked up to Sodom? He saw that he could make money there. He saw that it was well watered everywhere. Now, in Lot's day, certainly it was important for land to be well watered because people depended upon agriculture and they depended upon animals and you had to have water. That was an important thing. But when he looked up to Sodom, what he saw was material prosperity. But you know, to look up to Sodom, Lot had to overlook the wickedness that was there. I think far too often we as believers are enticed by the things in the world that look good to us. And in order to look up to those things, we have to overlook a lot of bad things that come along with it. It's sad when we, as God's children, who ought to know better, follow the same materialistic desires of the world around us. And we wind up condoning their sin and eventually indulging in it. If you see in Lot's case, he went through a process. First, he looked up to Sodom and he began to contemplate that looked good. And verse 11 says, then he chose the plain and then he journeyed east. And in the process, he separated from Abraham. You know, Lot made a choice of separation, but he separated from the wrong group, okay? He should have separated from the Sodomites. Instead, he separated from his godly uncle Abraham. Sometimes Bible believers are worried about the idea of separation. They think that's narrow-minded, bigoted, and all this kind of thing if you separate from the world. But the truth is, if you don't separate from the world, you'll wind up separating from godly people. That's what Lot did. He'd have been a whole lot better off to stick with Abraham than to choose Sodom and Gomorrah. But he chose it basically from the standpoint that it was well watered everywhere. He thought he'd make money. He thought he'd prosper materially there. And that was all that counted in his thinking. Now, I understand why an unsaved person would think that way, but I don't understand why a godly person would think that way. And the New Testament tells us that Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Once he lived there, he was miserable there. He was a believer. The New Testament makes that clear. And he was very unhappy there, but he made money. And that was all that was in his thinking. In order to look up to Sodom, he had to overlook a whole lot of things that God did not want him to be thinking about and being involved in. But this was the first look, and I call it the look of empty enticement. That is, when he looked up to Sodom, he was enticed, and he thought, I'm going to have happiness here because of the material benefits that I can gain by moving there. But it was all empty enticement. When I was a little boy, our toys were not nearly as sophisticated as kids' toys are now, okay? Nothing having to do with lasers or anything like that, you know. We didn't have to worry about plugging anything in. Didn't have to be charged up or anything, you know. But one thing we did was we made soap bubbles. Ever see those little old-fashioned things where you get a little wire deal, you stick down in soap and you blow it? This is how we entertained ourselves, okay? Yeah, I know it sounds a little drab to some of you, but nevertheless, I loved to see those soap bubbles on a sunny day, and the light would catch those bubbles just right, and there's all these colors, you know, it just was so pretty. And I thought, I want to grab one of those and take it home, show my mom. The soap bubble looks so good floating through the air. But you know what happens when you go and grab it and put it in your pocket? There's nothing there. No substance. And I think there are an awful lot of people chasing soap bubbles today. Through the empty enticement of looking up to the world, anticipating, I'm going to make money here, and therefore nothing else matters. I tell you, when God's people start thinking that way, and they wind up looking up to Sodom to find that Sodom is going to take care of them, it's just like chasing soap bubbles. Put one in your pocket, and you'll have nothing to show for it. The look of empty enticement when Lot looked up to Sodom. But you know, there were others who looked at Sodom also. If you'll skip with me to chapter 19. Chapter 19. I want to notice Lot's sons-in-law. Lot's sons-in-law. Chapter 19. I think it's interesting. Verse 14 gives us an explanation. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters." You know, that's how you get sons-in-law. They marry your daughters. That's how I got my sons-in-law. I have three daughters, and therefore I have three sons-in-law as well. And they're okay. None of them are good enough for my daughters, but they're okay. All right. They're okay. And I like them. But Lot had sons-in-law, plural. They had married his daughters, plural. And it says in verse 14, and by the way, let me just fill in part of the story between chapter 13 and here. There had been the warning that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of its wickedness. And Abraham had shared that with Lot. And now Lot is going to tell his sons-in-law. Now, his sons-in-law were Sodomite men. Not necessarily that they were involved in homosexuality, but they lived in Sodom. They had grown up there. That was their background. That's what they knew. That was the life that they were accustomed to. And notice in verse 14, I'll begin at the beginning also again. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he, Lot, seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law said, Oh, come on, Dad. That's a joke, right? You're kidding. God's going to destroy this beautiful place? No way. You see, these young men were insiders in Sodom, and they looked around at Sodom from the standpoint of an insider, ones who had grown up there. They're saying, what's so bad about this? This place is okay. We've grown up here. This is what we know. And you're joking that God would destroy this place. Look at all. This place is well watered. This is a place where people are making money. We're prosperous here. What's so bad about this? See, they looked around at Sodom from the inside. And they liked what they saw. This is what I call the look of evil enjoyment. That is, they were accustomed to it. This is how they thought life should be. It was all they knew. And they liked what they saw. You know, you can develop an appetite for most anything you expose yourself to enough. You can develop an appetite for it. When I was a teenager, back in the 18th century, rock and roll music was just starting. Okay. Now, the words weren't vile and filthy. They sang about blue suede shoes and white sport coats and things like that. And then the great literary masterpiece, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. Great songs, okay. I was a teenager when those songs were coming out, and I was a Christian. I never heard a sermon about rock and roll music, but I felt that it somehow was bothering me spiritually. Somehow it just seemed like it had a bad effect on me spiritually. And I decided I was going to stop listening to rock and roll music, and I was going to start listening to classical music. Now, that's a jump, okay? That's a change. From You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog to, you know, somebody's sonata, you know. There's a big difference there. But I made the choice to start listening to the classical music, and you know what happened? I liked it. I had to work myself up to that, but I got to where I liked it because I listened to it enough, I chose it, and I developed an appetite for it. I'm told you can do the same thing with broccoli if you work at it, you know. I wouldn't know for sure, but I think there are an awful lot of things that we can develop an appetite for if we just expose ourselves to it enough. In this case, these young men had grown up exposed to the lifestyle of Sodom, to the wickedness that was rampant there. And they looked around and they liked what they saw. They had an appetite for that sensual, wicked, proud world. I wonder at this point if Lot began to regret his decision to move his family to Sodom. So this is the look of evil enjoyment. Those poor young men didn't know anything different. And they liked what they saw. You know, the world can't understand how a Christian can be happy living a life of separation unto God. I mean, after all, they look at us and say, you Christians don't ever have any fun, do you? They don't know how you could enjoy coming to church. The church I pastored in Indiana years ago, there was a lady who was talking to a co-worker who happened to be from a different denomination, let's say it that way. And this co-worker said, you Baptists must really be bad people as much as you have to go to church. Like going to church was a penalty, you know, for being bad. This person could not understand how you could actually look forward to and enjoy being in the house of God and singing the praises of God and fellowshipping with godly people and listening to some preacher yell at you. You know, I mean, to them, it's absolutely unthinkable. And unsaved people don't understand the lifestyle of a believer who wants to keep himself separate from the world. It doesn't make sense to them, but they're missing out on so much real joy, real happiness, real peace, real contentment. They're missing out on so much, but they don't understand it because they look at the world from the standpoint of insiders. That's all they know, and they look around, and it's the look of evil enjoyment. But that's the way Lot's sons-in-law looked at Sodom. Lot looked up to Sodom. The sons-in-law looked around at Sodom. But probably the one that you're most familiar with is Lot's wife. And if you go down to verse 26, as they're leaving Sodom, and God's destruction is coming. It says, verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked at Sodom. She looked back at Sodom after having left it. She looked back at Sodom. And this word, looked, is a Hebrew word that means careful, sustained, and favorable contemplation. It's the exact word that's forbidden in verse 17 of this same chapter when they were told not to look back. Verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he, the angel, said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. That was exactly what Lot's wife did. She looked back. Same Hebrew idea. This favorable, careful, sustained contemplation. She was physically out of Sodom, but she wasn't spiritually out of Sodom. You know the old statement, you can take a boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Well, here's a sad statement. You can take Lot's wife out of Sodom, but you can't take Sodom out of Lot's wife. She looked back with a favorable view of Sodom, even though she had lived there, and even though she had had a connection with godly Abraham. Even though she knew that what was going on in Sodom was wrong, she still looked back after she had gone out. And she looked at it favorably. She looked back towards Sodom. This is what I call the look of embittered envy. Did she obey her husband? Well, in body, yes. She did go out of Sodom. But she didn't obey her husband in spirit, and far more importantly, she didn't obey God in spirit either. She, I think, is a type of a believer who has been saved out of the world, but still looking back, desiring it, craving it, looking back upon that world with favor, thinking, boy, I sure wish I was back in Sodom. That's what we call being backslidden. But far too often it happens to believers. God delivers us out of something, and then we look back upon it favorably. It's so much like the children of Israel. When they were in Egypt, they were slaves, they were miserable, they cried out to God by reason of their bondage, wanting to be delivered from Egypt. And then when God took them out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, what did they do? They said, boy, we wish we had all that good food back in Egypt. They forgot about the slavery. They forgot about the misery. They forgot about how much they wanted God to get them out of that place. They just remembered the leeks and the onions and the garlic. I tell you what, I'd rather have, you know, chocolate chip cookies or something, but and they were craving the leeks and the onions and the garlics. God had delivered them out of Egypt, but they wanted to go back. And the vast majority of that group, because they didn't believe God and go into the promised land, they died in the wilderness and never claimed the wonderful blessings of the land of Canaan that God desired for them. But they were looking back to the old life, forgetting the slavery, forgetting the misery, and thinking about the flesh and its cravings. And I believe that's Lot's wife. Looking back at Sodom, the place that God had delivered her out of, and looking back favorably, desiring it. I think she's bitter, she's envious, she wished she could be like the Sodomites. You know, it's a sad condition when God's people wish they could be like the world. When we think, we wish we had what they have. When it ought to be that we live in such a way that they wish they had what we have. Shouldn't it be that we love the Lord and we enjoy living for God in such a way that other people are attracted to the Savior? It ought to be that way. Instead of we being attracted to the world because we look back with favor at that which God has delivered us out of. She knew what she left behind, and she craved it, and she wanted to go back to it. There was too much Sodom in her heart, and she lost everything, even her life, as a consequence of looking back at Sodom. So you have three wrong looks. Look of empty enticement that Lot demonstrated when he looked up to Sodom. Have the look of evil enjoyment as his sons-in-law looked around at Sodom. You have the look of embittered envy when his wife looked back at Sodom. All of those are wrong ways to look at Sodom. But there's a right way to look at Sodom. Because in chapter 19, the angels that spoke with Abraham and Abraham himself, they all looked at Sodom. In chapter 18 and 19. Look at chapter 18, verse 16. Chapter 18, verse 16. And the men, these are the angels that were talking to Abraham and telling him the warning about the destruction of Sodom. The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. They looked toward Sodom. And then if you look at chapter 19, verse 28, speaking of Abraham, it says, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It says both Abraham and these angels looked toward Sodom. And that word toward is, again, a Hebrew word, the same for both, in both cases, which has the idea of looking down from a mountain or some high place. And sometimes the word is used even looking down, God looking down from heaven. But it's looking down is the idea. And I think that's the right way to look at Sodom, to look down at Sodom. Not to belittle the people there, but to realize in order to live that way, we're going to have to go down. This is what I call the look of eternal evaluation. When Lot and these angels looked at Sodom, they didn't focus on, well, there's a place to make money. There's a place where we can be prosperous. There's a place where we can get all the things that we want. But as if they were looking from a higher perspective and looking down. Now, obviously, that was literal here. It's figurative as we think of it. I don't think we should look down upon people, but we can certainly look down upon sin in the world and realize there's nothing good for us to benefit from there. That's the look of eternal evaluation. That's looking at Sodom properly. And this world that we live in is a great big Sodom. There is so much of materialism and pride and immorality and idleness, the things that God spoke against Sodom about. Those things characterize our world, our society, right here in the United States of America. And instead of looking up to that lifestyle as if it has something for us to offer, instead of getting involved in it, looking around saying, I like it here, instead of even after you've been saved out of it, looking back and craving it, instead we need to learn to look down, to look from God's perspective. Instead of seeing a place where you can make money, see a mission field. You know, God said to Abraham, after a great deal of bargaining between Abraham and God, God finally said, all right, if you can find 10 righteous people there, I'll not destroy Sodom. When you think about it, Lot had a wife. They had sons, at least two then, it's plural. They had daughters, at least two. They had sons-in-law, at least two. And they had two unmarried daughters that actually did go out with Lot. If Lot had reached his family for God, Sodom and Gomorrah would not have been destroyed. But you see, Lot didn't see Sodom as a mission field. He saw it as a place to indulge, a place to make money, a place perhaps to get involved in pleasure. I don't know, but certainly the money was a big motivating factor. The material benefits he thought he'd get from Sodom. By the way, do you know what Lot took with him materially out of Sodom? Not much. He lost everything because he didn't know how to look at Sodom properly. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. That's something that I think all of us ought to be aware of. And keep in mind, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, the song says. And that's true. That's true. Our citizenship is not in I started to say North Carolina, but I don't suppose many of you are in North Carolina. Not in South Carolina. It's not in the United States of America. Our citizenship's in heaven. And from there, we can look down on, again, figuratively speaking, because we're not there yet. But from that perspective, we can look down on the world around us and see not just a place for pleasure and enjoyment and the accumulation of things for ourselves, but see a mission field that God has placed us in. That's the way to look at Sodom. And I would challenge you, as we live in this world, it's not getting any better. Sin is so much more blatant and open now than in my childhood. I know I'm an old timer, but I could not begin to describe for you how much worse things are, how open sin is in comparison to what it used to be here in this country. We've not made progress. We're going downhill rapidly. But we need to have the right perspective and look at this world around us from God's viewpoint. This is not a place for us to indulge ourselves in pleasure and seek material things as if we're here on this earth just for our own lives to be more fun and comfortable. But this is a mission field that God's placed us in. I would challenge you, look at your Sodom from eternity's evaluation. Would you bow your heads, please, with me? If we're going to look at Sodom, let's look at it from the right perspective. Perhaps tonight there's some of you who would say, Brother Surrett, I realize that my focus has been on the wrong things in life. Maybe it's materialism that motivates your decisions. Maybe your whole purpose in life is just to see what you can accumulate for yourself. You better be willing to surrender your kids and your grandkids to serve God and see Sodom as it really is, a mission field. I wonder tonight if there might be some of you would say, Brother Surrett, God has convicted me about the way I view the world around me. And I know it's wrong, and I want to make it right with God. And there's some of you tonight, just lift your hand if God's spoke to your heart in that regard. God bless you. Thank you. I see those. Yes, amen. God bless you. Thank you for your tender hearts. You may put them down. Father, I pray that you'd help us to look at this place in which we live from your perspective. I pray, Father, that we'd allow your word to establish our values and the things that we consider to be important and worth investing ourselves and our lives and our energy into. And I pray, Father, for these who have lifted their hands, help them, Lord, to make those decisions you've dealt with them about and to live their lives in a way that will reflect a proper view of the world around us. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.